Well, we are trying to do so, but unless the good Lord takes me, then before I can get people going, because I have a situation where people come to me for training, right? I want to train them, but we didn't have the facilities to train more than two or three at a time. Now we have. Right?
Okay.
So it will grow, but it will grow gradually, and I do not want it to reach a stage where I have more people than I can handle, and then I deliver a bad job.
Is there any real fundamental difference between what you're offering and what is offered by the other major unions in the country?
What I'm offering is members first. I listen to the members and I try to do their bidding. It is not done that way or wrong for some of the others. And that is the problem that I have. I try to be fundamental. I do things as I was taught back in the 80s when I first joined, and what the textbook tells you I do. Right now we have people rewriting the union text to make themselves relevant. The union is not about any one man. It's about the body, the entire body of the membership. And we are seeing people call themselves union boss and all kind of things. The boss in the union are the...
But in all fairness, Caswell, mm-hmm. Nobody can ever say that they heard anybody else utter a word in public on behalf of your union other than you.
That's as it should be.
Well, I thought that was contradictory of what you just said earlier.
No. Too many cooks will spoil the broth. you know, this many hands make light work, maybe you can get too far. The people in my union have roles.
Yes.
Your role is not to go out there and to be saying something else, and I'm saying something different. But
no, that's not what we're saying. You should speak with one voice, that is true. But you shouldn't hear only one voice.
Well, when we grow, you'll get other voices. I'll have to step back sometime.
Okay.
But right now, as it stands, it is me.
All right. Well, at least we got an opportunity to get a greater insight into your union. It's Unity Union, it is?
Unity Workers Union.
Yes. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, David.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Both you and Mr. Franklin.
Yes.
David, you know, I'm so glad you asked Mr. Franklin that question concerning his union. I don't really want to make this my point because I have a serious point I want to make to you. But, you know, I always see the Unity Trade Union as a union with a self-appointed leader with no succession plan. And I don't ever can recall I ever hear that union keeping a conference, or I never even hear about delegates. So I was sort of concerned, and I'm glad you asked him that question now, so I don't know if that may alert now my concerns I had about his union. I don't know if you want to say anything concerning that man before you get to my point.
I got your point.
You're not even going to tell me if you're a self-appointed leader, Mr. Franklin?
I didn't appoint myself. I told you people approached me. They came to me and they asked me to form the union. They decided that I would be general secretary. I didn't. Because a union cannot be formed by one man. The Trade Union Act requires a certain amount of people to register a union. When those people come together, they decided that you will be the general secretary and you will lead the union. I'm guided by them.
So
only hear one man, there's not only one man in the mix.
Is there a succession plan?
Is there a
succession plan?
Succession plan?
Yeah.
Not as yet.
Okay.
You want to come help us?
Let me go to my point, though. I think you convinced me now beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, David, you had a caller. I mean, I hope you listen to these callers who opposing the boss program. Because you had a stream of callers coming right down the line. And then almost the last one, you ask him if he is a member of the Democrat Labor Party. And he said yes. You remember that caller?
Yeah, I wanted to find out whether he was a member of the Young Democrats, but he said he was a member of the Democratic
Party. Now, you remember, I jog your mind back to the program at the beginning, you know. You start this program with Mr. Franklin, okay?
Yes.
And Mr. Franklin, as far as I can recall, is the only one who spoke about Grantley Adams. Did you have another caller speaking about Grantley Adams?
I don't recall.
And you can recall, David, what that caller who said that he's a member of the Democrat Party said to you?
About what?
He told you that he was listening and the person who was talking about Grantley Adams was talking a whole lot of foolishness.
That's true. That's okay. What he said.
Exactly. I hope Mr. Franklin listens to that caller. Now, let me get my point. Now, David, I listened quite intensively to Mr. Franklin. And his objections to the civil servants taking the bonds. Now, you know, I have a serious problem with Mr. Franklin. And indeed, a serious problem, even a more serious problem with Scott Wellhead from the PDB, Mr. Attlee Party. I mean, I got the impression, as far as I'm getting out when I listen to these two persons, that they have absolutely no concern about the welfare of the workers of this country.
All right. Let's get down to some specifics as to why.
When you have a program, the Boss Program, David, this program is not about Prime Minister Mayor Motley or indeed her government. This Boss Program is about getting people back to work. And some of the same civil servants that Kazir Franklin and Scott Wellhead asking not to take the bonds, they also have families and friends who are at the present moment out of work.
Tall boy, let's deal with some specifics here. Otherwise, you can get accused of trying to put on a political speech.
Well, you know how the whole stream of DLP supporters who come on.
I try my best not to encourage that on either side. So right, let me deal with the specifics of why you believe the program is good for Barbados and good for the workers.
David, you know the situation after COVID in this country. You know at the perilous state that the economy of Barbados is at the present moment.
But the other people are saying these are the reasons why. Mr. Franklin has been at length. He's gone to length to say why he doesn't believe it is acceptable right now. For one thing, he says it is not, as he sees it, in keeping with the Protection of Wages Act. It says that to make it compliant, there would have to be a change of the law. That's to begin with. Then there's the other argument that people over a certain level are put in a position where after their money is lodged and bonds are allocated, they are then asked to either stay within it or opt out. That should have happened before the money is lodged.
Well, that is Mr. Franklin's position, but I'm saying to you, David, what I'm hearing coming from Mr. Franklin this morning on this program, I think is very misleading.
Also.
Because for one, he said it about three different occasions, that you cannot take bonds down to Cheapside and purchase anything. And I listened to him.
He says that they're not legal tender.
But he gave me the impression as though they can get bonds and they're able to go down Cheapside and use these bonds. That's misleading.
Who's giving that impression?
David, that's what you're coming from, Mr. Frank.
I didn't hear that.
You can't take bonds down Cheapside.
He said that you shouldn't pay people in bonds according to the law.
You cannot take the bonds down Cheapside to purchase anything.
Can you?
So people who listen to the program would tend to believe that is a bond is something you put in somebody's hand and go shopping with. Well, indeed.
I didn't hear that, man. That's your interpretation, but I didn't hear that. All right.
And also, David, he's saying that it's forced upon the workers. It's not. I listened to Kevin Greenidge up to yesterday, David, and he said it's optional.
So you don't take the point that you don't think that to be fully optional, it should happen? From the start, you should be able to determine whether you want to be in or not. You shouldn't be put in and then be asked to take the option after you've been put in.
That's the decision of the civil servants. Because Kevin said, and I want you to listen to me carefully, he said that they'll be paid their full salary. That's what the guy said.
All right. Well, Mr. Franklin, any comment from you before we go to the news?
I don't think it deserves a comment.
That's why I will now take this opportunity. I will now take this opportunity to call on Joe Ashley, the leader of PD.
To fire Mr. Franklin?
No. I want him to remain in as a center. I want him to come and tell me if what Mr. Franklin is saying and his position on the bonds is also his position.
Okay.
That's what I want to hear coming from Reverend Ashley.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The news is next. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're going until 2 o'clock. It's 12:42 right now. Hello? 434-1790, that's the number for you to call. Quite a lot of interest in what's happening in the United States at the moment. These programs are so domestic, they don't even focus on that. But when I look at what people are discussing online and stuff, it's amazing how many people are interested in what is going on there. There have been protests, not only in many, many cities across the United States, but there have been protests in London and other European cities as well. So how is it that it escapes any attention in a country in a program like this? This is Down to Brass Tacks. You don't believe it has any bearing whatsoever on us? Welcome.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Ellis, and your team at VOB, and your guest, Senator Franklin.
I'm not so sure he's with us right now. He's gone. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay. We are governed by the Constitution of Barbados. We have individual rights and freedom. The public officers can make choices. They are no babies, right? They can decide if they're going to take the bonds or not. And the people at the Treasury know, right, who is up to their neck in debt. So they know that some of these people may not be able to afford it, right? And for those who want to go ahead, they can go ahead and do what they have to do. People complain about the potholes in the road, the schools, etc. We need to work on the capital project. And therefore, we need to bring people that are currently unemployed from this virus that we have, you understand, that caused a lot of people to be out of work, to bring back most of them to work. We need to have people in construction and roadworks, etc., right? So you got to sit down and analyze the situation. You got to try to get people back out to work. Government is not a profit-making organization. So we got to hold hand in hand and help our country, right, despite their laws there. Yes, you know. But if you can't afford it, so be it, right? And if they show you certain things, why not go after what you could afford? You don't hang your hat where you know you cannot hang it. You understand? So I don't see the big fuss. Last time they take it out, yeah, by compulsory. But people complain, but in the long run, it was beneficial to most of us, right? So I don't see why some people should be moaning and groaning, etc. Sometimes you got to make sacrifices for the betterment of your country and for your people. You don't want to see people unemployed, so sometimes you just got to bend over to help others. Right? So don't see where the fuss is all about, Mr. Ellis.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good day.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. And you?
I'm well. I just have three quick points to make. And I want to say, though, that I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with the Black Lives Matter and against any form of injustice against humanity. And that's from my 2 cents, from my corner, really. Now, there have been some outages in the St. George area and part of Christchurch, and I'm sure that the Barbados Light and Power is aware of this. I haven't heard any apology or I haven't heard any PR being done on it, but I'm sure that will come once it gets out there. I really wish Mr. Franklin was still on the line, because I have some possible scenarios. Maybe you can help me. Maybe people have raised them already. I'm not sure. Now, I am thinking if I participate in the bonds and so on, and I need cash, I have an emergency situation that I didn't plan for, and I need cash immediately. Can I go to my brother or my sister and say, look, I want you to redeem these bonds and give me the cash value? Can I go to someone as arbitrary as that, or is there a place where I can, or I do have to go back to government and redeem these bonds to get cash?
I believe the answer to that was that you would register with the Central Bank of Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And I did hear some comment to the effect that you could, in those circumstances, allocate the bonds to someone in particular. But it would be through the Central Bank of Barbados, from what I gather.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if I have it wrong, of course, somebody in government, I don't have all the answers to these issues, so they can tell me whether I'm right or wrong on it.
Right. And there's no delay, there's no time process that you have to wait. Remember, it's an emergency that I'm dealing with, and you need cash right away.
Well, I don't
but
know.
I also want to raise the question of loan sharks. I need cash. I need cash right away. I go to my neighbor and say, look, I am in some trouble here. I need some cash. These bonds are worth $1,000, $2,000, whatever, whatever. And he says to me, look, I only got $800. Take it or leave it. I so desperately need $800 because it can cover what emergency I have. I take the $800. Is there any way that we could avoid situations like that?
Look for somebody else to borrow the money from.
Fair enough. All right, and lastly, there's a social issue that I'm concerned with. I'm concerned that the older people or senior citizens who depend on the delivery of their mail directly from a drop-in through their window or from a casual chat and take the mail from the postman, I'm concerned about the impact of the mailbox system on them. I don't mind people who are able to afford the mailboxes, especially those mailboxes with a lock and key. But I'm concerned about the older people, the senior citizens, who depend on their mail, especially their pension checks, who might become more vulnerable. I use the word might become more vulnerable for people stealing their checks and so on once this mailbox system is instituted. And many of them may not have a mailbox. And if they do, they may have the mailbox that is without a lock because that's the cheaper version. So I want to know, I know the government has taken it back to September. Today is June 1st, so I'm concerned what measures could be instituted to assist our senior citizens and those who depend on the drop-in, the window, or the take the mail from the postman who depend on that system of delivery from the post office.
No, I can't give you an answer to that either. That is not my area of specialties. Somebody my specialty area is to get other people to respond to you. So I'm going to ask them to tell you what the answer is, okay? Thank you very much. All right. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I wanted to get in, but I'm sorry that Mr. Franklin is gone. But I want a bigger Mr. Franklin, though. I listened to the program, and a lot of people was not because of the party who to support. But I remember in 2010, I had a problem with the child care board. And I went to Mr. Filing. I find where he lived, and I went there. He did not charge me, not the same. And he did send me back to my union, which was the NUPW. He said, look, go back to them. Tell them that I say this is where it should happen. I tell them, and at the time, I also went to a lawyer, and the lawyer did not understand what Mr. Franklin was saying. They didn't understand it. But what I can tell you, that eventually I was able to get every cent from the child care board. At the beginning, they were saying, no, it can't happen that way. When I went to the union, Ms. Burt dealt with me. When I went to Mr. Franklin, he sent me back to Ms. Burt, and they worked it out. So I personally want to thank Mr. Franklin, and when I went to him, he did not charge me a cent, and that was in 2010. I don't even think he was looking for members. I think he was looking with an honest heart to help a brother, and he did. And Mr. Franklin, I want to say to you, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a good work. Despite all the criticism, you're doing a good work. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. down to brass tacks.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
I had a question to put to Senator Franklin, right, because he's going. I want to ask, can the central bank sell bonds?
Well, that's to the individual, that is the question. That is a matter which has been raised with me, and this person really is saying, look, when it comes to one of the critical questions that will have to be addressed is whether the central bank can legally, under its current act, cash a debt instrument issued to an individual or institution that is not registered with the central bank to do such business. Person suspects that the act will have to be amended to permit this. The central bank is allowed to deal with financial intermediaries, not individuals, or even unregistered, that is, unregistered with them under law, unregistered companies. You may recall all the discussion that there was years ago when some $5 million, which was said to belong to Mr. Paris, there was discussion about having that lodged with the central bank. So I suspect that the very question which was raised then is relevant to what is going on, or what is being proposed now. So that's a question to be answered for us.
Okay, Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
On behalf of Alvin, I would like to say thanks to Mr. Franklin for what a wonderful job he is doing. And he would like him to keep it up.
Who, Alvin?
You're Alvin.
How many on behalf of? You speaking on his behalf? Know what happened? He paying you to talk?
He can't get in? Yes.
Since when, Bo?
I don't know.
Since he went on vacation?
Mr. Ellis.
You should tell Alvin that this is the price you pay for going on vacation. Somebody else takes your slot. Then it's harder for you to get in.
I take hear you, whoever is there.
Well, he needs to hear me.
Right. So speak directly to him. Mr. Ellis, you have a good afternoon.
You do too. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, I know your guest is not there now, but also I say thanks to him for his enlightenment. I am concerned as whether this is another IMF, these bonds are another IMF program.
How so?
Because actually, Mr. Greenwich is actually knowing how it's to be worked. Even when given back to the central bank, he knows the rules will have to change for the central bank to receive it. I'm not hearing anything from Strawn. He is our elected economist for Barbados. I know that Mr. Greenwich was for Burke. Obviously, this is supposed to be bonds among the people of Barbados and the government of Barbados. If he's the advisor, how come he's not advising Mr. Strawn? Why we are not hearing from Strawn? If we look to the Nation of November the 23rd, 2017, when Judith Gould came down and met with Chris Sinclair, the same Mr. Haines, the central bank man, who's also economist, Darvell Ennis, Mayor Monty, the government officers, the private sectors, and the labor organization, you read for the paper and see that the same system that have continued being with the IMF is contained on the system. Now, he said that regards to if you accept the bond or not, I'm listening to Mr. Greenwich very clearly. In other words, if you get in $3,000, it will be $2,005 that be yours still with bonds. If you reject it, it goes back to the central bank. Now, as I heard that you have a certain amount of time to apply to get the cash. You know how governments work. When you have to apply, sometimes somebody said they didn't get the application, they didn't get this, they didn't get that. Why actually it is so, and he's so sure that they can get the money, why not let those people who want the bonds apply for it? It is saying that it is not, in other words, forced on you, but still it, your name coming down instead of getting your money, you're getting $2,005 and the bond.
No, but don't you, at a point, you have you're still in a position to say, I don't want to.
I heard what you said. I'm explaining to you what I understood. I don't think your understanding is mine.
Mm-hmm.
He said that in that part, in that page, the bond is yours to you, accept or not, it can come to you. You have to reject it for it to be taken
yes.
up by the central bank.
Yes.
That is what I understood.
That's what I understand, too.
Right. You have to reject it for it to be taken up by the central bank.
Yes.
Is this backdoor printing of money? Because what is the central bank paying it with? You know, I don't want to get any further with it because it is a bit confusing. Why, and of all, instead of Mr. Strawn, our elected economist speaking, if it is not another program, why is Greenwich speaking? Over now, sir.
If it is not another BERT program, why is Greenwich speaking? Well, I don't think that you can measure whether it is an IMF program or not based upon who is speaking. Mr. Greenwich is, at the end of the day, he works with the IMF, but he advises the government of Barbados. I suppose all of this, at the end of the day, though, is linked to trying to meet our targets. We're trying to find various ways in which we can meet the targets and still, in a period where we have COVID, try desperately to meet other needs, significant needs as well. So I hear what you're saying, that as long as Mr. Greenwich speaks in your mind, he's trying to protect the IMF, and you would prefer to hear the person who is elected by the people of Barbados. I mean, I may have a different interpretation of how a CD2, but that's your position, huh? Down to brass tacks. Look, somebody just wrote me something here, because I'm saying to you this thing, this situation in the United States is pretty serious, you know. And this is a Barbadian. I tell you, Bajans who live abroad, that this program is as much yours as it is the program of the people who are staying and living in Barbados. And therefore, you must feel free to share with us what are your experiences. We just went through a whole situation there with COVID. It is not yet over. And before you can get out of it, you have this crisis which has erupted now after the killing of this man. This person says that I shouldn't mention their name, but they currently live in a relatively safe neighborhood defined as predominantly white, middle class, and suburban. On Saturday night, a gas station and a sports store were burnt. Police cars were damaged and 42 people arrested. It hits home when you realize that as you enter the supermarket, go to the gym, or take a jog, other folks are looking at you a bit strange, especially now that the masks are on. The harsh reality for many of us blacks in America today is that in the school system, banking sector, judicial system, and in many other areas, being black places you at a disadvantage. In normal times, we are told to go back to Africa. This says, the person then concludes by saying, I am now seeing more rednecks in my general area driving with Trump posters on the number and shotguns racked by the rear window. It is scary being black in America today. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Mr. Harris, a blessed day to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Thank you kindly. I trust that the week will be a very good one for you. Blessed one, you on the station, workers in force, and Barbados in general. And I always wish the best for my country. Mr. Harris?
Yes.
I am concerned that our government is now enforcing a psychological manipulation on the people. You're going to ask me how. Two areas I'm going to point out to you. You said to the people that this program is a voluntarily run after this national meet and turn thing. You twist it around. Now, I will let you, if you can, explain to me if it's a voluntary yes or no. Why would you assign X amount of bonds to me and then say to me that if I don't say no, that money will be transferred or deducted from my wages?
But implied,
and then it will then be paid back to me. Why would it be paid back to me in the first place when I never gave any go ahead for anybody to take anything from my money? Now, for instance, you cannot assign something to me and say, well, this is X amount of money, and only you will get it. They call it get back. Now, how could it be gotten back when it should not have been taken in the first place? Because then there was no authority given to you by me to deduct it in the first place. So therefore, you should not assign something to me and then tell me that if I don't want it,
This is part of the discussion. This is part of the discussion. Just hold on. It's part of the discussion now, right? So this matter is not a fait accompli yet. The government is going to have discussions with workers' representatives, and I believe the business community too, tomorrow and on Wednesday. So this is your opportunity to say, well, what's the better way of dealing with it? Now, let me ask you, in principle, you're not opposed to the bonds issue, do you? Are you? What you're opposed to, based on this conversation, is how it is implemented, not the general concept.
Yes.
So all they need, so for you, all they need to do is give the people the option to say yeah or nay before the salary is lodged and before the bonds are allocated.
Because, Mr. Ellis, I mean, for God's sake, you cannot assign something to me that in the first place, I never asked anybody to sign anything to me, and then just take it that if I don't say no, you just deduct my money. I mean, in the first place, I never asked you for any bonds or anything else. How could you go and take my money? I never give permission to do it. I mean, and I'll tell you this. This is why I say to you, this is psychological manipulation of the workers. And I'll tell you the next point that I'm going to make to you that convinces me that it's psychological manipulation. And that is, when I say you, I mean the government is negotiating with the unions who are the people's representatives. Then, which is the normal thing to be done, where you negotiate with the union. And then you would expect that the union then and you to have this dialogue, and then they will go to their workers and put this case to the workers and so on, see if it's okay with them and so on. That is the normal thing to do, and that is the right thing to do. But hear this. The government, after discussing this with the people, with the union, now has now gone now and segment certain sections of the government area and telling them to meet up at the gymnasium, to sit down then, to talk to them, and then to put what you are putting to them. This is, as far as I'm concerned, undermining the union's authority. Because then you are now looking out to manipulate them. And not only that, and I tell you something else that I'm noticing too, that those departments that you've asked to come now to meet with you, you are now psychologically saying to them that if this particular department
don't want that. I know exactly who there's a possibility of giving them.
Where has that been said?
But no, you see, if you've got to think ahead.
Yeah.
You see, our problem
you're
is
dangerous,
we
man.
Think about now.
You're dangerous.
No.
You're putting up something that hasn't been said. But you now tell me you're looking ahead
you
to the future.
I am a futuristic thinker. And I'm saying to you, in this particular
so
situation.
So if you're so futuristic, that's fine. But there isn't a possibility that it could be for the better too in the future? We only see one side of the future, the bad side?
No, you see?
No, yes.
No. Why you are yes. Undermining the very system that has been set up because
you are blowing this out of proportion, I must tell you.
No, it would be that way. That's how you would choose to see it. But you see, if you have a people's representative that are representing the people, that you are in meeting with them, and then you leave them and go to the workers yourself and tell them this thing, what would you call that? Explain that to me.
Democracy.
Manipulated democracy?
This is what democracy is.
Psychological and manipulation of the very
you
system.
Feel you feel manipulated?
Yeah. No.
You do? Anybody can manipulate you?
You know what I'm going to put here down to you? Do you realize that now that the labor officer has no kind of dealing in this at all? You know, you realize that.
This is an industrial dispute?
Mr. Ellis.
Is there an industrial dispute?
But you have not even allowed it to reach that any case yet.
My goodness.
You are
something else today, though. What happened?
We had
breakfast and lunch today.
No, but you're manipulating system, so I can't reach him.
You're manipulating system, my foot. I don't interpret it that way.
You see the scare tactic that's being used?
I don't think that's scare in this instance. Look,
psychological warfare.
I would like to think that as somebody who has to sit down and listen to all these arguments on a regular basis, that at the end of it all, what you would want to be able to do is pick and choose what seems to be valid and what appears not to be so valid.
You know,
a lot of concerns that people will raise from time to time, and I share some concerns from time to time. But this attempt by you to just create what I consider to be a massive scare tactic.
No, you see, I'm pointing out parameters. I'm pointing out...
I'm talking about all this psychological pressure.
We already have psychological
pressure by the circumstances let me make the point. If there is a pressure that is being exerted upon us, it is where we have been in recent years, where this economy has been, where it was 2 years ago when this government changed, and what has happened since COVID came on the scene. Look, Australia had 10 years of drought, then they had a whole set of brush fires, and then they had to deal with COVID. We have had 10 years of economic drought. We have COVID, and today marks the start of the hurricane season. Good grief. These are the factors that influence the kind of psychological pressure that we will all be under. We understand that the government has to find a way out because at the end of the day, it is the government of the country that we depend upon to show us the way.